Becoming the New Wineskin by Russ Painter is brought to you by Kingdom Training Institute. Our goal is life transformation through education and mentoring.
You know, today I want to share with you some thoughts on the things that really matter to Jesus, to the Father, to Holy Spirit. One of the most important things I think that we can engage in is really having a look at what our values are, right? Values are those ideas, those beliefs, those things that for us really are non-negotiable. You know, this is who I am, this is what I believe, and you can't change that because I won't back away from these ideas, these beliefs that I hold, right? And obviously, as you know, Christians, we've got some of those, right? Where we say, you know, Jesus is Lord, whether you like it or not. He's our Savior, and I'm never going to back away from, you know, from those truths. And then, of course, we have our own personal values about what's important. And, you know, those values can differ from person to person, and that's fine. You know, my values are not the same as yours and vice versa, but we can agree on certain core truths that are necessary if we're really going to become all that God desires for us and do all that He created us to do. It's just an important thing, right? So in this transition, that this shifting that the Lord is doing, bringing us back to a kind of experience, you know, in Him where we gather together in a different way and serve one another in a different way, because we're not simply sitting in a pew listening to people on the platform, but we're now going to do things together in these smaller gatherings where, you know, if no one comes ready to serve, it's going to get pretty quiet quick, you know, and we're not Quakers. If you're familiar with the Quaker tradition, right, they'll just come together and sit there in silence for an hour. Well, okay, maybe the people are getting something out of that, but that's not, you know, as I mentioned yesterday, that's not what a new wineskin gathering is all about. It's active participation. Everybody gets to play. Everybody gets to participate and share as the Lord leads, as He gives that impulse, that, you know, that revelation. So some of the things that I think we've got to really focus on if we're going to do this and do it well. The first one is one that is so obvious, yet even though it's obvious, it's not always something that we actually experience. And that is the fact that when we gather, whether it's two or three or more, Jesus says, "I will show up." Now, that's not, you know, a philosophical or theological construct or an idea. This is a reality. And for a lot of us, that is a huge shift to all of a sudden consider that when we get together, that Jesus is literally, literally right there with us. And again, because we have been so, you know, accustomed, acclimated to having gatherings where stuff is being done, and the idea is that, you know, God, you know, is there on some level, but he's maybe just observing. You know, he's out there somewhere observing what's going on in the service, and, you know, maybe at some point he might break in and things happen that were not planned. I can remember well the days when going to church, you know, we, because, you know, I was part of the charismatic movement. Our, you know, the churches that we went to believed in the gifts of the Spirit and the flow of Holy Spirit, even though our script, our services were pretty well scripted. All right. We really did kind of give lip service to the move of God. And whenever that would happen, you know, something would happen, maybe a prophetic word would be released, or just God's presence would come and overwhelm us in some way, such that we would just stay there and maybe continue to worship. And there was no message. There was no sermon. And invariably, we would walk out of that service and say, oh, that was amazing. That should happen all the time. And you know what? We were right. And the reason why it happened was because God just showed up and said, look, I'm taking over here. You know, this is my meeting. Okay. Well, that's what he wants all the time. And so for us to, I think, be able to experience that, well, we have to believe that when we get together with another brother or sister, or three or four more, whatever the size is, Jesus is literally there in the midst of our gathering. And if we can make that shift, if we can transition our thinking to embrace that reality, see, all of a sudden, now he's got the freedom that he deserves, by the way, to actually lead that meeting in whatever direction he desires. But that's our challenge, isn't it? Our challenge is, can and will we shift into believing? After all, we are believers. So shifting into believing that Jesus is actually literally there in our midst. Now, listen, I don't care if you have to use your imagination to picture him there. That's absolutely legal, right? Whatever it takes, we should do that. I had an encounter with the Lord one time that blew my mind, where we were in one of these meetings, right? And I said, Lord, show me where you are. I want to see you. And I couldn't see him. And I said, Lord, I know you're here. Come on, where are you? Well, all of a sudden, he pulled me out of the meeting and showed me from his perspective how he was holding us in the palm of his hand. Okay, he was that big that he was holding that huge building in the palm of his hand, and we were in there. Okay, so I mean, whatever it takes, he wants us to recognize the reality of his presence when we gather together. And so for some of us, it's going to mean that we become a lot more childlike in our, you know, perspective toward him. You know what I mean? As a child, it's like, oh, yeah, of course, Jesus, you're here. You said you would, right? We've got to step away from all of our, you know, sophistication and you know, intellectualism. He's with us. It's true. It's real, right? So let's become childlike in that regard so that we can experience the fullness. You know, when I first started teaching this, I would ask people this question in the class, and I would say, if Jesus did physically show up in your church service or gathering, would anything change or be different? And I think that's an awesome question. That's a question that will get you thinking about, yeah, what would change if he physically, you know, actually showed up in the meeting? Well, obviously all the focus would be on him. Well, why should it be any different? Whether we can see him physically or not is irrelevant. He's there. So let's act on that reality and keep the focus where it belongs, which is on him. All right. Again, this seems like such a basic, obvious kind of thing, but yet it's not, because we've, for many, you know, many of us, we have not yet made that shift in perspective to acknowledge his literal presence among us with an expectation that he's going to speak, he's going to lead, he's going to reveal what's on his heart for us in that particular gathering, right? That's our challenge. But guess what? He is absolutely able to make that happen for us, because that's what he desires. That is absolutely what he desires for us. So stepping out of our fleshly mindset, right, where we no longer simply see one another as humans gathering together, but rather we are anointed, spirit-filled sons and daughters of the Most High who hear his voice, who carry giftings from the Holy Spirit that we get to share with one another in those gatherings, right? I mean, there's so much here that we could, you know, get into, but that's really the essence of it, right? I love when Paul talks about this in 2 Corinthians 5, where he says, you know what? We don't look at each other like we used to, as just mere humans in the flesh, right? We don't know Jesus that way. He's now Spirit. He's Lord. He is, you know, God of all. And we don't see one another as just strictly humans, but rather we see each other as being in Christ, right? Again, these are all important shifts that have to happen in our thinking so that we're no longer trapped by what Paul called philosophy, deception. How did he put it? This is in 1 Corinthians 1, where he says, Colossians 2:8, see that no one takes you captive through philosophy, empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. So these mindsets have to be identified and rejected and replaced so that we can, you know, acknowledge and experience his presence in all the reality that it is, right? So when he is there, which he is, we must then submit to his lordship. Oh, again, something so obvious, yet we don't really know what that looks like because we're still learning how to have these kind of gatherings. But it's him being Lord, being the one who calls the shots, right? That is what we've got to understand. That's what we've got to do, and just acknowledge and submit to his rightful place as being the one on the throne in that gathering where he gets to dictate how this is going to flow, what's going to be done, who's going to share, and what are they going to share. What I mean, it's just, you know, again, it sounds so simple, but For those of us, especially if you've had any kind of leadership role in the church, you're going to struggle, because your tendency is going to always be to jump in when maybe there's a pause in the action. Well, we can't have silence now. I've got to say something. I've got to do something. No, that's even more now your responsibility to step back and say, Lord, is there something that you want me to do? Or is there something that you're wanting to do through someone else and they're kind of struggling? So I pray that you strengthen them so that they can release what you're putting on their heart. Again, it's all about following his agenda, okay? And yes, it's going to be a learning process, but it will be so worth it, because think of it this way. Okay, when I used to lead church services under the old way of doing it, people by and large were receiving what God gave me. Now, I was trying very carefully to make sure I heard from the Lord, and I studied and I did what I needed to do, but I'm just one guy. And whatever God may give me is a tiny piece of the puzzle when you compare that with what's possible for him to share. And the only way he can do that is if we're all involved, because each of us can bring something that he highlights to bring, so that the meal, right, we have a full course meal instead of just an appetizer. All I could maybe bring would be the appetizer, but the rest of the body gathering together and sharing whatever the Lord is giving them to say, well, that becomes the full course meal. And so this is a very important thing that we have to recognize, that he's in our midst, literally. He deserves to be acknowledged as the head, as the leader of that gathering, right? And that whatever he commands us to do, well, we better do it. We just better do it, right? Because I want you to think of this on a bigger scale. We understand, I hope, that as believers in any particular area, we represent the rulership of Christ, right? Now, he's ruling and reigning in our hearts because we have surrendered and submitted our lives to him, right? So he is the king in our hearts, in our lives. But from there, we also now have a responsibility to expand his rule into our home, where we live. And if you're living with other folks, that's part of that equation. Now, I realize that in some cases you may be living with people who have not yet surrendered to his lordship. And in that situation, you just do the best you can to establish his rule in your home, right? Where, okay, I'm not going to participate in certain things or do certain things or have certain things in my home because they don't honor him. They don't help me if I have that in the house, right? So, you know, you go through that process. Lord, is there anything in my house that, you know, I need to get rid of because it doesn't, you know, it's a connection back to my prior lifestyle, or there's a connection there that the enemy can take advantage of, whatever. You know, we just do that kind of thing because we want Jesus to be Lord, you know, in our home. So, well, what happens beyond that? See, that's where we now get into the purpose for the ecclesia. When we gather together with other brothers and sisters in this way, we actually become a prophetic act, which signifies that the Lord and his rulership is to influence and cover a wider area than just our own hearts and our own homes. All right? We're coming together because we believe that God wants to manifest, release his kingdom and all the goodness that is in his kingdom in a much wider environment. And so these gatherings are prototypes of God having influence in greater and greater numbers of people who are also going to become part of the new wineskin and gathering in their individual places. You see, this infiltration of the kingdom that Jesus used, that amazing analogy of yeast and how you put a little bit of yeast in the lump of dough and come back, you know, a few days later, and now the whole nature of that dough is completely altered by the yeast. That's the picture of how the kingdom really infiltrates and operates, right, in the lives of folks. So that's another huge reason why he's looking to have us gather in these ways. Because think of it this way. You're in this meeting, and the Lord says, for example, hey, I want you guys to walk around the neighborhood and just let people know, hey, we're praying for you. because God loves you and wants to bless you. And if there's anything that you'd like us to pray for specifically, let us know. We'd be happy to do that for you. I mean, that's just one example, you know, of a way that we can engage with folks that are not part of our gathering, but maybe someday they will. Just exposing them to the reality. You know, I try to reach out to my neighbors whenever I can and just be, you know, whatever influence I can just to bless them. And that's one of the ways you can do it. So again, this is a huge aspect of the new wineskin that I don't think a lot of folks have really considered. And again, don't feel bad. You know, I haven't figured all this out yet either. I'm just giving you some of the things that the Lord began to share with me, you know, those many years ago as I was exploring, you know, this topic. He really began to give me insights into what he wanted. And so that's what we're doing here. We're trying to focus on what really matters to him. Because I don't know about you. I want to be concerned about what matters to him. You know, what matters to him matters to me. And I know it does to you as well. Just sometimes we don't really know fully what matters to him. So what I'm trying to do right now is just kind of give you some additional insights into what matters to him, right? And that's just the first of really five areas that he showed me what really matters to him, okay? This is just the first one, you know, that he is literally present. He's literally wanting to have control and be in charge of the meeting, right? And that in that, he's going to give us his, you know, truth and revelation and instruction and commandment and whatever else he wants us to do. That's what's going to happen in these gatherings. And so there you go. Value number one. So obviously I will, you know, continue this as we go forward, because the other four are just as important because they matter to him. Okay. So I hope this is encouraging for you. I just love the fact that, you know, he's giving us these truths so that we can embrace them, so that we can come into agreement with his heart and say, yes, Lord, this is what I want to. Help me, help us, you know, to live these things out for real. I just don't want to give lip service to any of this stuff, right? I want this to be reality anytime I get together with another brother or sister.
For more information about Kingdom Training Institute, visit our website, www.kingdomti.com.